This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
رمضان ماه فرصت یابی است.
The holy month of Ramadan is the time for finding the opportunities. This is the best chance for reconciliation with Allah. This is the best chance for planning and discipline in our religious life. Ramadan is the best time for strengthening our piety and willpower. This is the best time to abide by our promises. Ramadan is the best time for achieving prosperity both in this world and the hereafter.
رمضان ماه تقویت اراده است.
The holy month of Ramadan is the time for strengthening our willpower. By strengthening the willpower, we can avoid haram looks. We can avoid gluttony. We can avoid haram food and drinks. We can avoid haram income and earnings. The holy month of Ramadan is the best chance for controlling our anger. This is the best opportunity to regret from our past mistakes and sins. And this is the best time for asking for Allah's forgiveness. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
النقي means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. الهادي means the guide. All the imams came for guidance.
السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Dialogue. I'm your host Mahdi. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was a pure source of wisdom and knowledge. Despite his young age, he showed what divinely gifted knowledge really looks like. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the 10th divinely appointed Imam, and he was the 10th divinely appointed successor of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. After Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam answered with the answers of an expert the most difficult of questions posed to him by the Shia scholars and jurisprudents, the Shia leaders at that time had more faith and certainty now of what they had previously believed, that a divinely appointed Imam must have the most knowledge and he must be the most knowledgeable one of his time, regardless of whether he is young or old. And so the knowledge, virtue, and the delving into the sciences of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam astonished the minds and sparked meetings and gatherings in all parts of the Muslim world. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Jamiatul Kabira by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, along with its English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabih at-tuja wa a'lam at-tuqa wa dhawil nuha.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace be upon the Imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, His select, His party, the case of His knowledge, His argument, His path, His light, His proof. Allah's mercy and blessings to be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, the 10th divinely appointed Imam. We find that His Eminence has these beautiful dialogues, and of course, you know, sometimes we think that the divinely appointed Imams, the Immaculate Imams, the only thing that they talked about were perhaps some akhlaqi discussions or some akhlaqi statements, some ethical, moral statements, and limited to that. Unfortunately, because we don't have enough knowledge or we don't really read enough about the divinely appointed Imams, or we don't study their lives in depth, perhaps even superficially, we find that we don't know a lot of things about these divinely appointed Imams. We find that when it comes to the theological, jurisprudential, philosophical sciences, the divinely appointed Imams, they had a lot to say about these matters. And of course, when we study their sayings and these different aspects of their lives, we find that not only did they have a lot to say in these kind of scientific fields, philosophy or theology and these kind of things, but they were experts in it. Of course, when we talk about an expert, this is a divinely appointed individual, and so they are at the peak of knowledge and wisdom as far as all of creation is concerned and all of humanity is concerned. They are the ultimate peak of knowledge and wisdom. So they are the masters of these sciences and this kind of logic and reasoning and understanding and intellect. So in this one conversation, we find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, talking to one of his companions, he talks about how Allah the Almighty disciplines the believers, or he kind of, I don't want to use the word harsh, but in kind of a tough tone, you know, it can be said Allah is talking to the believers, and Allah, well, here Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam quotes the verse from the Holy Quran where Allah says, "And it behooves not a believing man and a believing woman that they should have any choice in a certain matter when Allah and His Messenger have decided a matter." And so then Imam Hadi alayhi salam continues and he says that Allah the Almighty has not allowed people to choose according to their own desires when a matter has been decided by Allah and His Messenger. Here I think is kind of interesting to talk about this idea. One is that when Allah has decided a certain matter, you know, then mu'min or mu'mina, a believing man or a believing woman, they do not have the, you know, the absolute free will or the, you know, to be able to, according to their desires, go against a matter that Allah has done. So, for example, Allah says, "I've chosen the Quran to be your book." Well, we can't go and choose a dictionary, for example, to be our book. Or well, Allah has decided that the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, is the messenger. But then that's it. We don't have a choice to go out of our own free will and say, well, you know, we want, you know, somebody else to be a messenger. Or when He decides a matter when it comes to imama, He chose Imam Ali alayhi salam to be the rightful successor. We don't have a choice when it comes to, well, we don't want to choose Imam Ali, we're going to choose somebody else. Now, this idea that, well, this happened, people went behind, well, this means that people, you know, they went against the commandments of Allah, they broke the commandments of Allah, and that, well, you know, logically, the repercussion is punishment on behalf of Allah, unless Allah wants to forgive, which that is up to His Eminence, the Almighty Allah. But here, the idea that once something has been decided, it does not behoove, it is not appropriate, it is not good, it is not allowed for the mu'mineen and the mu'minat, the believing men and the believing women, to, according to their own desires, go against the commandments of Allah, because that will incur punishments. This is Dialogue, Imam Al-Hadi, alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others, and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulema, that are Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In the 10th episode of the Ramadan special series, we are going to speak about sensitivity towards sin, indecency and evil deeds with a look at Ayah 92 of Surah Tawbah of the Noble Quran. Stay with us, please. Among the characteristics that God likes very much, and every faithful should have it, is غيرات, which means sensitivity towards evil and sin. According to a hadith, God likes غيرات among the faithful. غيرات means strong defense of dignity, face, family, religion, property, and country. This sensitivity acts like a vigilant police in the spirit of human being, guarding red lines and boundaries. It urges us to be alert against evil acts and sin. A hadith from the Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, reads, Allah assigned two angels to punish a city. The people of the city were very rude and immoral. They felt no regret for their sins and did not give up their evil deeds. Allah sent them to raise the city to the ground. They saw a worshipper among the people who was praying, crying, and supplicating. One of the angels told the other, "Let us go and ask him again." The other angel said, "Do your duty." The first one said, "Perhaps the command has changed as the man may have repented. Wait so that I ask for our duty again." So that angel went back and asked Allah, as he had seen a worshipper among the people. Allah said, "The duty is the same. Go to the city and destroy it." Then Allah added, "It is true that this man is engaged in worship and prayer, but he is never upset and angry with the sin of others and disrespect to the divine laws, and his face didn't change. He has no religious sensitivity." The sensitivity of persons towards belief and religion is inevitable. The deeper is one's belief in his religion, the more sensitive he will be toward religion. The opposite of religious sensitivity is compromise and coming short on religious red lines and principles. This is called pliability and indifference. A sensitive person cannot tolerate insulting of divine laws, principles, and sanctities. When God obligates something, he wants it to be done. As we said in the beginning of this episode, Ayah 92 of Surah Tawbah is somehow related to this issue. "Nor is there any blame on those to whom, when they came to you to provide them with a mount, you said, 'I do not find any mount for you.' They turned back while their eyes were flowing with tears, grieved because they did not find any means to spend. Those faithful had no means for jihad, but religious sensitivity made them very upset and they cried in grief. Today some people insist on ignoring of religious values and principles, saying, 'In the modern time, we shouldn't be sensitive and rigid towards values. We should endure all tastes, ideas, and behaviors and give them chance to show themselves.' The pliable people think that if person does an indecent act in public, insults sanctities, writes profanities, we should not react. They argue that not everybody thinks the same in society and everyone have their own idea. So, if we want to live comfortably, we have to tolerate them. They even attribute their justification to some Quranic ayahs. For instance, they mention Ayah 185 of Surah Baqarah, part of which reads, 'Allah desires ease for you, and He does not desire hardship for you.' They also resort to Ayah 21 of Surah Al-Ghashiyah, 'So admonish for you are only an admonisher.' But these people should be asked as, what is their opinion on Ayah 19 of Surah Ali Imran, part of which reads, 'Indeed, with Allah, religion is Islam.' Or, what do they think about Ayah 73 of Surah Tawbah, part of which reads, 'O Prophet, wage jihad against the faithless and the hypocrites, and be severe with them.' We should not forget that tolerance and taking easy of religious laws not only is accepted, but also it is the origin of religion. And if taking easy means to spread Islam through argument and logical debate, it is correct. Yet, one cannot come short and be indifferent against affront towards religious values. We read in history that a delegation came to the Prophet and told him, "We will pay allegiance to you with three conditions. We will not perform daily ritual prayer. We will not break our idols ourselves. And let the idol Lot to remain for 1 year so that we can worship it." Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, "There is no use in the religion that has no bowing and prostration. As for breaking of your idols, if you don't want to break them, we will break them. But on worshipping of Lot, I will never give you such a permission." Sure, the Prophet stood firmly against their excessive and illogical demands and rejected them. It has also been narrated on the revelation of Surah Kafirun that chiefs of polytheists came up to the Prophet and told him, "O Muhammad, you obey your religion so that we obey yours and make you our partner in all our privileges. You worship our deities for 1 year, and the following year we will worship your God." The Messenger of Mercy told them, "I take refuge with God that I may ascribe and associate to Him." Then the Prophet came to the sacred mosque after the revelation of this surah and told the chiefs of polytheists, "O you the faithless, I will never worship what you worship."
رَبَّنَا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalat wassalam ala ashraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen. Dear listeners to IRB English Radio, assalamu alaikum. We send our peace and salutations to the last messenger of Allah and his pure progeny. We have been going through the moments, the golden moments of the month of Ramadan, and I hope that inshallah you include all of us in your prayers, and you remember all the Muslimin from all around the globe, inshallah, during the beautiful moments of this month. We have been talking about the 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyah, the legacy of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, which is titled Fil I'tiraf wa Talab at-Tawbah ila Allah Ta'ala. This dua in its entirety is very much recommended to be recited in this month of Ramadan. So this is a good opportunity for me to suggest that if you have time during the month of Ramadan, and if you find that solitude for making supplication, this dua is a good preparation tool for the Layal al-Qadr, for the important nights of this month that are to come. We got to the part that Imam was describing the situation of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. We got to the part that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was describing the situation of an abd, of a servant that is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make dua, And then that list that we mentioned in our previous session, and here Imam says, وَقَدْ تَعْتَى لَكَ فَعَنْهَنَا. In the portion or in the phrase prior to this, Imam says, ثُمَّ دَعَاكَ بِسَوْتٍ حَائِلٍ خَفِي. Then he supplicates you with a feeble, quiet voice, showing humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing that modesty and recognition of the status of his Lord. And ثُمَّ وَقَدْ تَعْطَى لَكَ فَعَنْحَنَا. He is bowed before thee, bent, like the position of ruku' that you have, or the sajda. وَنَكَّسَ رَأْسَهُ فَأَنْثَنَا. And then his head lowered, thrown down. وَقَدْ أَرَأَشَتْ خَشْيَتَهُ رَجْلَيْهِ. His legs are shaking in fear. وَقَرَّقَتْ دُمُوءُهُ خَدَّيْهِ. This is description of this servant, that his tears are flooding his cheeks. Let's take a break and come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
All right, respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, and with all these conditions that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is describing very beautifully and very precisely, that can draw a very perfect image in our mind of a man supplicating in a very lovely manner to his creator. وَقَرَّقَتْ دُمُوعُهُ خَدَّيْهِ. His tears are flooding his cheeks. And then يَدْعُوكَ. And then he supplicates you. بِيَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحَمِينَ. O the most merciful. O the most merciful. يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحَمِينَ. O the most merciful of the merciful. يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحَمِينَ. To understand who is Allah, we need to go through every single steps. And this is so important. What is the significance of sajda? What is the significance of ruku' in our prayers? What is the significance of being in that position? It is nothing but expressing humble submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, we are under the absolute control of you. And we recognize that we are fully submitted to you. Because if we are not fully submitted to you, we'll be submitted to someone else, to somewhere else, to some other attachments, to something else. Being in ruku, bowing down, and going to the position of prostration, sajda, that means what? That means I recognize you to have the absolute authority over me, and I submit myself to you. Look at the Holy Quran, verse number 109 of the 17th surah, Surat Al-Isra. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. Let's take a break and come back to see the translation of this beautiful verse.
Thank you. You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All right, we are together with the last portion of our session of the program Bridge. We were talking about the verse 109 of Surah Isra, that the Quran says, and they fall upon their faces weeping. وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. And the Quran increases them in humble submission. Khushu is very important. It's very important. In a very beautiful hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, khushu aw khashya, that humble submission is that only way of reaching the state of certainty and yaqeen. Imam says, fala yuqbalu illa al-iman. There is no acceptance except by faith. وَلَا إِيمَانَ إِلَّا بِعَمَلٍ. And there is no faith except by action. وَلَا أَمَلَ إِلَّا بِيَقِينٍ. There is no action, or no action is accepted إِلَّا بِيَقِينٍ, except with certainty, except with that strong belief. وَلَا يَقِينَ إِلَّا بِخُشُوعٍ. And there is no certainty, there is no yaqeen, except with خُشُوع. And then in the hadith of Mi'raj, to conclude our portion tonight, says, Ya Ahmad, ma arafani abdun wa khashali illa khashalahu kullu shay. O Prophet, there will be no servant who knows me and who becomes humble for me or in front of me, except that I made everything to be humble for him and under his control. May Allah grant us the chance to be humble and to experience that beautiful state, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Hargiz nagirat to abad aqa kasi jay to ra. هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
یا
On behalf of myself and all of my On behalf of myself and all of my On behalf of myself and all of my On behalf
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Qadamiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Mawlavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher. an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, ulama and scholars all across the world of Islam during the history of Islam. For today's discussion, I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the biography and the scholarly religious life of one of the outstanding scholars and the Shiite scholars from the region Lucknow in India. That is Ibrahim Lucknowi, or Ibrahim from Lucknow, the faqih and the mufassir of the Shiite of the 13th century Hijra in India. Shaykh Rouhani, brother, let's start with you. Some of our dear listeners are interested in knowing more about the biography of this man and how he was grown up in a Shiite community, especially in India. Let's be concerned with it, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ibrahim al-Lucknowi was among the great jurists and exegetes, the Shiite exegetes and jurists of the 13th century, according to the Qamari calendar, who was from India. And of course, he had the permission of narrating the riwayat of Ahlul Bayt from Mirzai Shirazi and Sahib Jawahir Habibullah Rashti and many other scholars.
Yes.
That's why he was very much dignified and respected in the presence of the Shiite ruler of Lucknow, as it is said about him that even Nasiruddin Shah Qajar, the king of Persia, respected him a lot and gave him specific titles.
Shaykh Rouhani, thank you very much. And Shaykh Fadai, originally he is from India. Nowadays, also Lucknow and Hyderabad in India are the centers for the Shiite communities over there, and the Shia population live over there, that we could see the spread of Shia Islam all across the world, especially in the Indian subcontinent. So let's be a little bit concerned about the life of Ibrahim Lucknowi, his trips to Iran and different places of the Persian lands and his compilations.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ibrahim Lucknowi, as you mentioned, he had some trip to Iraq and Iran. And in Iran, he went to Mashhad and he went to Ray and was welcomed by the Iranian scholars.
Yes.
And even by Iraqi scholars because of his scholarly life. And I want to mention a point about his life that when we see the life of scholars like Ibrahim Lucknowi and the achievement that they had in their country like India, we can understand that the progress of religion of Islam is the result of works of some scholars like him.
Very good.
Usually we hear that Islam was spread by wars.
Mm-hmm.
For example, some wars with Iran, I don't know, with other countries.
Yes.
After the bi'sa of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, usually the enemy of Islam, they want to spread this problem that Islam is spread only by war and violence.
Okay.
So we have this question: what kind of war Muslims had with Indian people?
Mm-hmm.
Did the army of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to India at that time, mm-hmm. or even in the time of the caliphs?
Very good.
Of course not. There were a long distance between Hijaz and India. So how is it possible that we had this kind of scholars
yes.
in India? So Islam is a theology. Islam is a way of thinking, a school of thought. And thinking cannot be spread by war and cannot be stopped
yes.
by war. So when we see some person like Ibrahim Lucknowi, he, first of all, he went to some scholars like Mawla Kamaluddin Mohani,
yes.
and as my brother mentioned, has ijazah of riwayah from great scholars.
Yes.
So, first of all, he gained the knowledge from his professors, and then he started to teach other people and had a lot of students. That is the process of
yes.
spreading Islam.
That's right.
Not war and violence.
Yes. Especially the tashayyu, we can say, We know that it was spread also in the history of India. There was a king named Yusuf Adil Shah in the year 895, according to the Hijra calendar. It was contemporary to the Safavid periods in Iran, and he respected them very much. He welcomed the Shiites very much. So many of the scholars and the dynasties and the Shiite dynasties were welcomed in India on that time. And as we said, Hyderabad still is the center for the Shiites. All in all, we could say that especially Lucknow, which is known as the scholarly capital of the Shiites of India, in that city.
Once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of it?
Sheikh Rouhani, one of the great achievements of Sayyid Ibrahim Lucknowi was, or Ibrahim Lucknowi was, his defense of the concept of Velaya in India, and over there he tried to somehow defend the history of Islam, legacy of Islam, the concept of Velaya in Imam Ali alayhi salam. What was exactly the story?
The story is this, that Britain Queen, actually, she ordered not to say Shahada of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in Adhan. That is why he resisted and actually rejected this order and commandment of the Queen.
Yes.
And sent a letter to her that they should be allowed and permitted to say this part of Azan in their Azan, though it is recommended, it's not wajib.
Yes,
part of Azan. Then, of course, it is said that the Queen cancelled this order, and then the Shiite were allowed to say this sentence, Ashhadu anna aliyan waliyullah, in their Azan.
That's right.
So, of course, it was one of the things that he did, but he wrote also many great works and books. Yes. Like Tuhfatul Mu'mineen, which is like Risala Amaliya.
Mm-hmm.
In Urdu, it is published in India for the Indian Shiite, let's say, communities. And Aliya Waqitu Durar fi Hukm al-Tamathil wa al-Suwar. This is another book, Nur al-Absar fi Akhdh al-Thar.
Yes.
This is in Farsi and printed and published in Lucknow. Ash-Sham'atu fi Ahkam al-Jum'ah. It is written for the King Nasiruddin Shah Qajar.
Fi Ahkam al-Jum'ah means what? The day of Jum'ah, or it is
Salat or prayer?
Salat of Jum'ah, yes. Prayer of Jum'ah. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
That's why it's called Al-Lum'at al-Nasiriyya as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it is said that even Nasiruddin Shah Qajar gave him the title of Hujjatul Islam when he came to Shah Abdul Azim, I think.
Yes.
He was welcomed,
right,
and embraced by the king of Persia at that time, and was given this title, Al-Hujjatul Islam.
That's right.
So, yeah, Al-Bida'atul Musjad in the interpretation of Surah Yusuf, and also the Da'imul Iman. There are many other books that are written by this great scholar, Ibrahim al-Lucknowi,
yes.
Though he just lived 48 years,
mm-hmm.
but he wrote lots of books that is really appreciated.
Sheikh Fadai, any point regarding the defense of Velaya in India from the side of Sayyid Ibrahim al-Lucknowi or Ibrahim al-Lucknowi?
Yes, as my brother mentioned, by that letter he could gain back,
yes,
the sentence, and maybe this question can be paused, that so was it wajib to do that?
Uh-huh.
Of course, it is not wajib.
Yes.
But all of our scholars believe that this is the sign of being Shia.
Yes.
You know, if Shia at that time were forced not to say that, it means that gradually Shia should be eliminated from the society. And he could understand that. He could understand that very well. That.
Yes.
This is a conspiracy against Shia.
Yes.
And that is the beginning step.
Mm-hmm.
If they could be successful, if they can be successful to eliminate this part of Azan,
yes,
for sure, in the next step, they will go on. So he stopped the first step. And this is the, this is not just defending a sentence. This is defending Shia.
Shia world.
This is defending Shiite society.
Yes.
And I want to say that what is the reason that he could be successful at that defense? One of the reasons is the good relationship that he had with the kings.
Mm-hmm.
Whether with the Shia kings in Lucknow,
yes,
and the British queen, which is not
or
Shia.
Or a Shia king in Iran, you know.
In Iran, that's Shia right. king in Lucknow,
yes.
Shia king in Iran,
yes.
And even the queen in Britain, which yes. is not Shia and is
yes.
not Muslim, and usually we know them as the opponents and
yes.
enemy of Islam.
Okay.
But by the means of having good relationship and respect, he could get that back.
Yes.
So that is one of his achievements
right.
to defend Islam with good relationship with the politicians.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding his life. As we said, Shiite Islam was spread all across India by the achievements and the struggles of such people. There are still so many outstanding scholars from India who tried very much and struggled hard in order to spread Shiite Islam over there. Inshallah, we get to their lives in our coming session of the program. The teacher, Ibrahim Lucknowi, passed away at the age of 48 in the year 1307. His body was taken into Husseiniyah in the city of Lucknow, and he was buried beside his father. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man. Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi aman.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة
alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the second day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. As we had promised yesterday, today we will speak about the customs of different ethnicities in Iran in Nowruz. Today we will speak about the customs of people in Mazandaran and Golestan provinces. Stay with us, please. Mazani and Katuli ethnicities are the most groups living in the north and northeast of Iran. They have very similar customs and traditions, though their dialects may sound somehow different. Nowruz Khan is the person who goes from street to street and neighborhood to neighborhood to give the news of coming of a spring a few weeks before Nowruz. What he does is called Nowruz Khani, literally meaning reciting and singing on Nowruz. Nowruz Khans in Mazandaran start their job in Esfand, the last month of the Iranian calendar year. Carrying a stick and a backpack, they walk in the alleys and streets of their city and sing melodies in their Mazani dialect containing good news of arrival of a spring. Local people serve them with sweets and pastries. This custom has been held mostly in villages for the recent years. According to historical accounts, Nowruz Khani dates back to pre-Islam era. Nowruz Khani among Katul people of Golestan province is also interesting. Katuli ethnicity sing Nowruz Khani with setar instrument, and sometimes people accompany the singer. Singers wish a good and happy year for people and pray for the remedy of the sick. Another beautiful custom among people in Mazandaran in Nowruz is to determine luck for the new year. It means the first person who enters the house will be good-footed. In some regions of Mazandaran province, the custom is called Madarm. According to this traditional custom, a few minutes before the turn of the year, a person who is accepted among all members of the family stands at the threshold with a tray containing a copy of the Noble Quran, a bowl of water, and green sprouts. He waits for the moment of turn of the year. He's the first person who steps in the house. He sprinkles water on the threshold or corner of the house, and other members of family put a gift in the tray. Choosing luck for the new year differs from region to region. According to an old belief, a good luck will bring a good year for the house. Sometimes a person is the luck of several houses. Thus, families wait till his turn for their house. Another custom among the people of Mazandaran and Golestan provinces is venerating of the dead on the last Thursday of the year. Like many people across the country, they go to the graveyards and recite Quran and distribute sweets, halwa, and other edibles, hoping to attract God's mercy for their dead ones. This day is known as Alfe in the region. According to the Islamic narrations, the dead expect gifts from their families. Thus, when their siblings, parents, or other relatives recite verses of the Quran, especially chapter hamd, for them, the spirits of the dead will benefit.